And coming up next on the Stream of Free Radio, it's the Bathrop Spears Broadsize Thursday, the 16th of January 2020 show. A little under the weather, so bear with me. I'm still going to try to put it out there. We're going to look over bits and pieces from here and there, the ACLU's award presentation, Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless organizing for a Martin Luther King Day event, the very disturbing meeting chaired by policeman turned politician Andy Mills, although he's still wearing his police chief hat, at the Santa Cruz Police Department's community room, in a meeting of the Santa Cruz neighbors as he presents his plan for a real crackdown on homeless folks in Santa Cruz. Again, we're going to play only parts of this, and I'm hoping that some of it will be posted more in its entirety so you can hear the whole grim story of what's being proposed by Mills, as well as the kind of fluff and puff and ain't it wonderful stuff from the ACLU. Also, we're going to hear from Paul Bowden of the Western Regional Advocacy Project, previously the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco, who came down to present a speech to the ACLU, but also to advise advocates here how to prepare for the attack, the neoliberal gentrification attack on homeless people that is gathering momentum throughout the country, throughout the state, and now in this city, or it's been the case for a number of years here. So let's go.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And in addition to the various items I suggested may be packed into the show, we also are going to have to take a look at the Tuesday shitty council meeting. And a shitty council meeting it was. The Santa Cruz City Council met and spent, God, it must have been about an hour, deciding not to grant a pittance to Brent Adams, at least not this council meeting in the middle of the winter, not in December when it had a chance to do so at the beginning of the winter. And probably not at the next council meeting, because they also passed a series of regulations setting in cement, or at least formalizing as a procedure, the notion that if you want to get something on the next city council agenda, if a council member wants to, forget the public, then she or he is going to have to do so 12 days in advance. That's going to be 12 calendar days in advance. So that means the Thursday before, 2 weeks before the city council meeting starts. So it's 2 days after the city council meeting that happens. In order to get something on the next agenda, you have to do it within the next 2 days. And of course, today is Thursday. This is the deadline today. So if somebody wanted to put this small appropriation, I think Drew Glover proposed $20,000, or maybe it was $15,000, one of the two. Sandy Brown proposed $10,000. To assist the winter shelter program, which provides the kind of storage, and we don't turn anyone away policies that during cold and rainy nights, on those few nights when it's open, because it is so limited in its volunteer capacity and so forth. But when it does open, according to activist Brent Adams, who runs it, it only it does take anyone who comes, and with special attention to people with disabilities, vulnerable and elderly, which Adams has claimed, and I think probably accurately, that the city, other shelters, others that are funded to the tune of hundreds of thousands or even over $1 million, which serve very few, less than 200 people total, if you count everything, and they aren't really just shelters, they're programs. You have to get in, and one of them is a camp that's being moved up to 1220 River, from 1220 River up to the Armory, but only for a month and a half until the Armory will close, partially because of either bad planning or bad faith, or maybe both, on the part of the city, which has done this with this campground twice before, when it's set up longer expectations for the campers, our expectations of a overflow or successor camp or shelter that just haven't been provided, in spite of huge amounts of money coming in from the state and is supposed cooperation with the county and so forth. It's at the Tuesday City Council meeting, Brent Adams was essentially smeared, and I'm going to probably play a little of that too, although I think what I'll do is I may put that off until the longer Sunday show. Maybe I'll just do a little of it, perhaps. What I think I'll do initially is just call Brent Adams and ask for his analysis. He may not want to give it because he may be afraid of losing even the small amount of money that he might get, if not at the next council meeting 2 weeks down the road, because it's too late. The council, through Matthews, Myers, and Watkins, with Martine Bernal and Condotti beating the drums in the background in their own kind of gentle way. That's the city attorney and the city manager, presented a plan signed on by two council members with a financial sponsor and with a everything with I's dotted and T's crossed within 2 days. And I don't know I think that Brett Adams had those things somewhat lined up, but it's a very, very short timeline. And it's one that Watkins set up after perhaps following in the claw prints of her predecessor, Mayor David Terrazas, another right-wing reactionary mayor with a very friendly smile, I might add, which said that you had to get things on the agenda through the mayor, although I think he was a little more liberal about that in his own way. But you had to do it 12 days in advance, not because it was mandated by anything written down in the council rules, but just because. And it would also, then those decisions would finally be made a week before the council. You had to get all your reports in 12 days before, then 6 days before the council meeting. The mayor, the vice mayor, and staff heads would all meet with the city manager in private, without other council members there, without the public being there, without there being any input from them at that meeting, and make a decision as to what was going to be on the agenda and thus what could be discussed. I doubt that that's been done by today, but let's give Brent a call and see if he's got some good news for us. So we're giving him a ring. Let's see if we can reach that man. Particularly nasty weather today, so he may be occupied doing other things. He supplies people with blankets and weatherizing gear, and pays particularly attention to those needs. It sounds like he's not answering.
Brent Adams, director of the Warming Center.
We've reached a recording.
Storage program. If you need the homeless hotline, call 246-1234. For all other inquiries, leave a message and we'll get back to you.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any...
And it sounds like he's a busy man. So I guess what we'll do is play a little of the city council audio of that item, which went on an interminably long time because three progressives wanted to give him something, only a pittance, actually. The fourth progressive turned tail, now our mayor, or their mayor, I should say, Justin Cummings, didn't seem too eager to do it. It was okay to put it off. And all kinds of unmentioned, sort of referenced and implied, but not specified, concerns about Adams were raised by Watkins, Matthews, Martine Bernal, and Myers. I'll play a little of it. And then, of course, when the audience spoke, every single person who spoke, although the chamber didn't have that many people left by that time, it was the last item of the afternoon agenda on Tuesday, was in favor of Adams and praised him. Although they said, you know, he sometimes spoke loudly and he sometimes called a spade a spade. Sometimes he may have offended some people by his roughness of tone, but there were no specific allegations that he could answer or respond to. And I'll play a little of that. Well, it looks like we're in luck here because I don't have to play something canned immediately. We have a real person on the line. Hi, Brent.
Hi.
So, Brent, you you took quite a savage, if innuendo-ish beating from at least three members of this shitty council, as I describe them, and you don't have to agree with my characterization, as well as the real power in the city, Martine Bernal, at the last Tuesday city council meeting, and then got essentially sidelined with, maybe come back in 2 weeks if you can put something together in 2 days to get on the agenda. Am I being too pessimistic here?
Do I really have only two days?
Well, they remember the deadline that was set up later that night by the city council, which has to do with the thing Watkins set up last year, or Terrazas, actually, the year before, when they said...
I am going to get something into them tonight.
It might be good. I mean, you know, Cummings may be a little more liberal, although, you know, he could get literal. They say 12 days now.
Run this by you real quick.
Uh-huh.
Now, treated me like a member of the community. I had to beg for 4 minutes. He barely gave it to me, but it was my nonprofit that was on the agenda. But he treated me like I was there for public comment. I didn't even have time to defend myself, let alone make an appropriate presentation. Did you catch that?
I remember you said it from the back. I think you're raising the issue of the fact that you are actually on the agenda, and normally people who are on the agenda as staff or as people presenting their proposals have that time period to do not just 4 minutes, but however long it takes, plus the fact that you did get your 4 minute request in as a group time the day before, as was customary. Suddenly he's changed the rules, and you have to have it in by Sunday.
The funny thing is my letter made it into the agenda packet, but my request for extra time, you know, he acted like it wasn't. So it's and also having to have those accusations raised, so I was forced to meet them, that cut into my actual presentation time, because I had a full complement of, you know, to tell them, you know, especially what it was going to be used for, but it was really clunky. But to give you the full report, the quick report, is that, what we call the boogeyman, or these weird allegations that I have not seen yet, but we kind of know where they came from last year, which is actually something from years ago, but it's actually, there is no victim, so I don't even, I hold it bracketed for now. I don't like to talk directly about it, but it's just this sort of innuendo that...
No, you were accused of speaking loudly about what sounded to me like a horribly...
It was at a catch meeting.
Yeah, at the catch meeting, you spoke out in frustration and anger about something that was said, which probably was...
There was a representative of the federal government presenting about housing first and gave a glowing report. And so when it was, and she said also that I want to, you know, get feedback from the community. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I was the only one in the entire room, maybe the only one in the entire city, that's been following Housing First nationwide and statewide, and quite clear that it has not been successful in any space. So I was happy to reflect that, but I was very terse and frustrated, saying, you know, the question, you know, I was not leading to a question because I just wanted to make a statement. But for the end, the question I said, if the federal government is going to be engaged in this, you know, ridiculous paradigm of housing first,
and they're not going to ever have any funding for development, housing development from the city, from the federal government, from the Congress, then when are they going to, you know, finally end this charade?
Well, also, remember the context. This is in early December when the winter shelter, of which there was essentially none this year in terms of, well, I guess there was the Laurel Street shelter, which is sort of a ride-in shelter if you happen to be able to get on the bus.
That was already underway mid-August, and they were running at full capacity in August.
So the point is that because there was so little winter shelter, no winter shelter, in essence, this winter, much less compared to last winter, and even that, of course, is wholly inadequate, which puts a particular burden on your facilities, because you, as a volunteer, with your volunteers, attempt to take up on those few evenings when you're open, because you are limited in what you can do, to take up, as you call it, scalability, but, it, you know, it's essentially so you don't turn people away, and you prioritize people who are vulnerable. And, you know, and that is something that, you know, I spoke about it a moment ago. You know, that's the context. This CATCH committee, which is doing nothing other than going through its normal, what I call it, sort of a fig leaf rigmarole to justify the city council's ignoring the issue. And also, essentially, they're using this issue to get rid of two council members in this recall. I don't know if the council is or the powers behind the council. This is my perspective and what's going on here.
The city manager is limited by ability to present to the CATS. The members of the CATS themselves have prevented my ability to speak to them, saying, you know, that, you know, kind of parroting without any indication or even protocol that a member of a nonprofit leader doing all these programs shouldn't be able to present to a citizens group. You know, it's been very wonky. So, yes, I have a bit of, bitter substance in my bloodstream when I am interacting with them, because I feel it's...
Yeah, but see, you shouldn't have to defend yourself, because there was no... You know, if you're going to defend yourself, you have to know what the charge is. And the documents that these council members were referencing, the accounts that they were looking at, were not presented to the public and were not even made transparent by the council members as they spoke.
Well, I don't even know precisely what... You know, apparently Ron Prince, who's carrying a homelessness for the city manager's office currently, in lieu of Susie... I'll be right back. Okay. In lieu of Susie O'Hara's work, if you recall, I'm going to lock you in, but I'm going to give you a key. Hold on a second.
And Brenda's working at the day and night storage, probably, as we're speaking, and it's...
Yeah, I have an intern. We've had a bit of an attack on the building recently, somebody smashing windows. So,
oh, boy. Yep.
I can talk to that about that. So this is the door key? I'll be right back. That's a whole other story.
But you did get a lot of support from the community. I did not hear one critical voice in that audience. And although, admittedly,
here's the great news. They voted unanimously to give us not 10, but 15,000, thanks to Drew Glover, with the stipulation that I can demonstrate that we have the large million-dollar indemnity insurance policy, which we do. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We have a grievance policy in place. And we basically, anybody seeking this sort of money would be required to offer a budget, which I totally would do. But the funny thing was, months ago when it was on the agenda, it was simply Sandy Brown requesting $10,000 for warming center expansion. And they voted unanimously, and then a few weeks later, voted 6-1 with Cynthia Matthews dissenting, again for expansion with no criteria. And then at no point did anybody from the government, city government or city council, reach out to me to tell me what my requirements were. So I just went ahead thinking, wow, for expansion. So I wrote emails to them saying expansion actually means our ability to open in two locations, so I have to hire a manager, like we did last year, so that we can truly offer that level of scalability.
Which you brought up at the meeting.
What's that?
Which you brought up at the meeting.
Yeah, right. So it's not... So these things are fairly, for me, straightforward, but we were not asked to present a budget. So I think it's all. It's actually those are the grown-up questions that they should have asked Cynthia Matthews. Really is bordering on being part of a defamation lawsuit, which means uttering things that are unfounded claims that again affect our ability to access basic funding and opportunities of funding. Or that our ability to, limiting my ability to speak to the catch based on some unknown thing behind this black curtain that nobody knows and I've never heard. You know what I mean? I keep hearing about this rumor or whatever.
Well, what we need are the documents that they were supposedly referencing, if they had any. And if they didn't,
So what's true is that the county did remove our funding. And that's no secret. But why did they remove the funding? They refused to say. It's based on a report that somebody had, but they won't let me see it or my attorney because no charges were ever filed. But there's actually, we have no complaints against our program. Not one client of the Stories Program or the Warming Center. Just, we've never even had a 911 call against us so where this is coming from. Again, Drew Glover really nailed it. It's just simply people within the government who wish to have, everything orient away from us based on, some fear-mongering tactics. So anyway, I want to move away from this. We got what we wanted, more than we wanted. They voted unanimously to support us at $15,000, and I will, easily.
You would think so. If they don't trip you up on this deadline shit, yeah.
Well, what's true is the city manager historically, like last year, they voted to give us $5,000 and give us a gate. If you recall, they gave us the gate to our facility, and a beautiful gate. Although last night it was damaged, it's not working right now because our building is currently under attack of vandalism. We're not quite sure how or why. Windows being smashed and everything. But that's another story, like I said. But the $5,000 that they committed to, it took them more than 2 months to produce that. So what I'm looking at now is, yes, I think the funding is probably totally going to happen. And starting today or yesterday, I can start acting like the funding exists in the account. One of the things that the mayor said is we should reduce the amount of money that they're getting because by the time they get it, the winter will be almost over. Now, that's true, but the way it works for us is we have some money in account. If I know that new money is coming, then I can act like the money, it already exists. And what I am actually prepared to do now is raise the temperature threshold up yet another degree and act more liberally. So,
And explain what that means, Brent.
So let's be clear. In cities like Eugene, their warming center opens at 28 degrees. They're much hardier there. They have much more cold weather. Here, we have this weird beach community with people camping in the woods who aren't very hardy or prepared for cold weather. So people end up getting hypothermia in Santa Cruz more than they do in a place like Eugene, which is crazy. I don't have data to support that, but they open at 38 degrees with or forecasts of an inch of rain. So this storm today forecasted only at 0.83 inches and 43 degrees. So we're not opening today, even though it seems clear that we should.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, it seems clear that we should.
Now, you could open if you wanted, though, right? I mean, if you went with your board of directors and...
It would take 2 days for me to open. I can't just open it right now just because of the big rainstorm.
Because
I have to get permission from the church, and that takes quite a while because we're talking about church administrative offices. They're hard to reach. They're not open like regular business hours.
So it's kind of a crapshoot. You got to judge 2 days in advance, even if you want to.
It takes 2 days in advance for me to activate the spot, get the volunteers in line, because we use about 20 volunteers, 3-hour shifts, 3 or 4 people at a time. You know, and that's a huge community of support that we have there. And then finally, putting the word out to the street. Many times we've opened the warming center early in our early years, and people weren't aware that we were open. So we did went through all of that, and we didn't have time to communicate it to the street, so people didn't come in.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we work is a 2-day forecast system, and I have a very strict threshold.
What was the impact of this?
I actually have to go right now. I'm helping deliver some blankets, and I'll be back in a minute.
Okay. So we're talking with Brent Adams, and I guess what I'm going to do is wait till he gets back to us, and we'll pick up the conversation then. If you can, hold your nose, and let's listen to the City Council's discussion of this item. Now, it went on at quite some length, so I'm going to play the beginning of it, and then I'm going to go directly to perhaps where Drew Glover makes his recommendation, which seems like... Brent was optimistic about it. I'm concerned he won't get action from the City Council. Well, maybe it doesn't matter that he doesn't get action in the next 2 weeks or at the next council meeting because it's already been sort of committed to once he presents the budget. But let's listen.
Moving on to our next item. it's warming. This is item number 28. On the City Council agenda, warming center program funding, presenters Ron Prince, and this was recommended by Councilmember Sandy Brown, and so I'll ask if Ron Prince would like to come up, and then followed by Councilmember comments.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council, Ron Prince, Special Projects Advisor. This item came before you, and I actually don't have a presentation as much as just to be here to answer any questions you might have, but this is a request for a grant for the Warming Center, and it's, I think it's clear that the Warming Center does good work for the community, and it's just a decision by the council to either make the grant or to, you know, filter it through another... a representative like AFC that's worked with the Warming Center in the past in terms of distribution of funds. But it's strictly up to the council. And if there's no questions, that's fine. But I actually didn't have a presentation.
And it's interesting here that, first of all, it's not Brent Adams that's presenting it. It's this guy, Ron Prince, who's the sort of city bureaucrat around homeless issues. Any kind of report or documents, which then is peculiar because the next... I don't know, half hour to hours blather by the City Council is all about what kind of a questionable character Brent is, with no documentation and no real chance for Brent to reply to these charges. As he said earlier, even the 4 minutes he was given was challenged by Cummings, who suddenly changed the rules. He's not allowed to make his own presentation or answer questions that way. And this guy making the presentation, Ron Prince, is essentially has no presentation. It's sort of it's like a filler, like he's being used as a substitute for any real presentation so that the council can kind of quickly, it seems to me, trash Brent and move on. And of course, the significance of this, aside from being abusive to one member of the community, a controversial member of the community, but trashing him anyway, is that it, of course, is injuring lots of homeless people who use his services. And this council, the majority on it, doesn't give a shit. They've made that clear. Either that or they're hopelessly confused and misled by the staff. It's kind of hard to keep using that pretext. And I don't think we can. We have to recognize what's going on here is the most vicious, invidious classism here, where people inside their homes don't mind spending huge amounts of money on golf courses and fancy developments and consultants. But when it comes to pittances for poor people, they suddenly get very, very miserly, very, very critical. And they kick it to the end of their agenda, or they just don't put it on the agenda at all. Or they sideline those who would be talking about it and put their own kind of I got nothing to say, but I can answer some questions maybe if you have any. And, you know, I haven't got much to say. In other words, he has no... It's an empty report. So it's not designed to be helpful. And, in fact, it seems to me, as I said, it's just designed to sideline Brent. Perhaps I'm being too critical here. I don't know, but we'll see. Here's some more.
Planned for this evening. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Councilmember Brown.
I do have a question, thank you. So you mentioned
Sandy
the
Brown.
Consideration of granting the funds through an intermediary agent, and it looks like in our agenda report, the AFC is not at this time willing to provide that intermediary service. So,
and this, of course, is another disgrace. I mentioned it, I believe, when I talked about this item coming up at the last show, or the show before. Association of Faith Communities is getting $1 million and or more to service a small number of homeless people in parking lots and through a tiny program that has been running for 6 or 7 years in churches. And I guess they're also now covering, not sure if it's them or the Salvation Army that's covering the Laurel Street and the 1220. I guess it's the Salvation Army. But they're covering the parking lot program, the so-called safe parking program, which essentially just expands from 3 to 5 vehicles the city's ordinance that permits people to park, although I'm not aware that they're enforcing that part of the camping ban, because that's what it is. It's part of the camping ban, an expansion that happened in 1995, allowing vehicles to park in private property and then later on business property. Well, first on religious church property and then on business property. If the church, if they're properly registered, if they're properly, all their papers are in order and so forth. As an exception to the 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. sleeping ban, which criminalizes sleeping outside or in your vehicle anywhere around town, but is currently on hold because of the federal court, not because of any sensible behavior by our local authorities, although Ann Mills did initiate that a couple years ago. And got some credit for doing so. This year he's doing some far worse things, which I'll be discussing later in the show. The Association of Faith Communities, as I mentioned in the past, presented a letter saying that we like Brent. He's a great guy. He's done some fine services, but we are not going to act as an intermediary for him, and wouldn't say why. So it's this same kind of blackballing, but code of silence stuff that's going on here, which is pretty nasty stuff. Here's a little more.
So I'm just wondering if you could say anything more about that, if you have thoughts on other potential fiscal sponsors.
Actually, I don't have any other thoughts. I just talking to board members of AFC. They said in the past they had it helped with funding and being sort of a pass-through to support the warming center. So yeah, that was our thought. We don't have any other nonprofits in mind that would have done this in the past on behalf of the warming center, to my knowledge.
Okay, so I'm just double checking it. It says that the AFC decided not to act as the intermediary fiscal agent.
Right.
So you spoke with them, and they said they've done it in the past, but they're not willing to do it now.
That's correct. Yeah, they had all 9 board members decided not to assume that role, but they all felt that the warming center was doing good work for the unsheltered community.
Are there any other council members? Councilmember Watkins.
Thank you. I just have a question, and I don't know if it's a question that Martine may want to answer or yourself, but we received an email in mid-December that was forwarded on from Martine in regards to some concerns. I don't know if either of you want to sort of speak to that email and or past concerns that I know, having been on council, have been raised about this.
And this is the mystery email that we never got to see, but that was constantly talked about for the next half hour to 45 minutes.
At Warming Center.
Yeah, I can speak to that. No, it was just an advisory
Ron
to
Prince.
to the city manager that right immediately after a catch meeting, I had some concerns that, you know, we had that, you know, acknowledging the good work that the warming center does, I had a concern that, about the reliability of and the reasonable expectation of having their grant recipient act respectfully to people that we do business with. So there was an incident that concerned me. Again, I wasn't sure the relevance of that.
What he's talking here to here, talking about, and he's not, he's concerned about the relevance, as he properly should be, because it's not relevant. Brett was expressing some strong feelings about the inadequacy of the Housing Now model, which has dumped lots of money into the notion of housing first, but not provided significant pathway to housing for people, mainly because probably there isn't housing to be had. But using the illusion that there is and beating the drums for it with Don Lane leading the pack. He was big, one of the big sponsors of this program back in 2013, I think, or thereabouts, when it was being touted as the solution to homelessness in Santa Cruz. It actually diverted funding away from other things. It had the city ignoring the criminalization of the homeless outside, which is where most people are sheltering, is outside. They shelter themselves outside. But when they try to do so, the Santa Cruz police and the buffed-up rangers, which are running around now with tasers and other implements of war, local war against the poor here in Santa Cruz, essentially maintain this low-grade terror against a community that is the most vulnerable outside. It's a really obscene disgrace what goes on here, but it's not atypical in terms of how this city administration's at the behest of the wealthier populations, or perhaps in apprehension wealthier populations behave. This could be, sounds like it's Brent. Hey, Brent, you're back.
We were doing a delivery for blankets and ponchos and stuff.
Yeah, I imagine. I'm glad that's happening.
The library, it's really interesting. The people at the library called us because there's no warming center tonight. But so I, you know, when there's no warming center, people can call the hotline and we make deliveries of little known service that, you know, when we're not open, I feel terrible. So we really try to do what we can to.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, and I usually mention it when we talk about you and your questionable ways, Brent Adams. Indeed.
So to recap what we had said, we got more than we had asked for, and they're putting us through the basic requirements, which is we would have expected anyway. So, but I do have to, you know, come forward and by tonight before I go to bed, have a budget in line and have, you know, with all the basic requirements that anybody would need for a city one-time grant.
Let me jump back to this council meeting, because I mean I find this, of course, the spectacle there is really secondary to what you're really doing and what others are doing on a night to night and a day to day basis. That's the reality we should be looking at instead of this crap that's going on at city council. So this is a program about the political process, hardy har har, as well as about the situation outside. I heard yesterday that the Washington Street Cooper's camping area on the sidewalk has been dispersed by the city. Have you heard anything more about that?
No. I saw a video by the president of the homeless union, Alicia Kuehl, that it showed up this morning, rolling Paul through the sidewalk to demonstrate that there's space. You know, but you and I know both, it's not about actually blocking the sidewalk. It's just if you're blocking even an inch of the sidewalk, they will write you that citation.
Well, I hear you. I got a report from Scope It Out Scott Graham, as I call him, who lives nearby, that he left at noon and everyone was on the sidewalk doing their business as usual, you know, with their tents and so forth.
Yeah.
And when he got back.
Let
me finish. When he got back at 4, everything was gone. And that I haven't seen. So
what you have done on a day like today, and we actually have been seeing that as a pattern over the last this winter. That right before the rainstorm, they'll force a move, which is the worst time of all for people who are looking for, you know, a fallback location.
Now, did you get?
I hope you get a report from Cooper or one of them.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. too, maybe at the Food Now Bombs meal this weekend. Did you get to the, and I'll be playing some of it myself, the Chief Mills draconian suggestions for new anti-homeless laws?
Yes, I did.
And what was your take on that meeting? Or can you describe what you walked away from that meeting thinking?
So Wes White, if you recall his, can remind us what his YouTube channel is. He's posted the entirety of the thing.
That's John Doe 13K. If you want to go to YouTube, then go to the two words John, and then Doe 13K as the second word.
On Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz, there's a video snippet that I posted. Mainly, he went through a couple of points. He kept calling point one, point two, point three. One of them included the new camping ordinance that Condotti has already unveiled at a catch meeting 2 months ago, and then finally recently at a city council meeting prior to the break, which, as you probably laid out, and I'll do it really quickly here, if they can identify that shelter is available when they're contacting a person camping outside between whatever the hours are, you know, 8 to 8 or something like that, but they'll be able to cite a person for the new sleeping ordinance. If there is no shelter available, which there never will be enough shelter available, so they should never write even a single one of these tickets under the new ordinance. But anyway, that's another conversation about appropriateness of locations, which I tend to agree in I like Mills because he's willing to talk about what happens behind the door. And he says, you know, even if this morning they were scouring maps, and he says, we're always looking at maps. If anybody knows a property we can lease, there are these new, you know, the new Gavin Newsom highlighting different properties for building. But I don't have it much to, that's, you know, that's just kind of rehashing, again, something about a chop shop ordinance, bicycles, something about a shopping cart ordinance. And these are all obviously targeted against people who sleep outside. And another wrinkle is expanding the park that is the downtown Pacific Avenue, so that they can, you know, right now they call downtown Santa Cruz a park so that they can institute the stay away orders once you get a citation. We all know that downtown is not a park and it's a business district. So when they want to use it, call it a park in order to, you know, use it as a policing device, I think it's highly inappropriate, but they want to expand that also. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 points I just mentioned out of, I think, 6 or 7 points.
What I've got here, looking at Wes's summary, which he posted this morning, it's an 8-point plan, declare downtown a park, ban homeless from all parks, tents from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., I don't know if it means you keep them or you don't get them, must remove and carry belongings, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 2.5 or 3 hour parking, and then you ticket or tow violators, citations for needles in public, and then, of course, recommend safe encampments elsewhere in the county. This is done to deflect the intention of the Martin versus Boise decision with a narrow view passage. What do you think of Wes's summary?
Yeah, that sounds good. You didn't need me for a report, then.
Well, you were there. And, you know, you have your own perspective. I'm interested in it as well.
I was there not as a citizen, but as the director of the Warming Center program. I tried to keep my comments very limited. You know, there's a diversity of opinion between the director and myself.
Director of the Warming Center, or the...
Correct. As you heard at the city council meeting, or you heard that Brent Adams is very prickly, and he sabotages possibilities.
Yeah, you're a bad boy, Grant. I got to admit that. So, I'm sorry.
The fact that that I operate the Warming Center on a night like this, there is no shelter tonight. People desperately need it. So if you were the director of the Warming Center, you also would be prickly. You would be frustrated and angry. You would be yelling at city council.
If you gave a shit, yes, that's right.
Well, no, I give a shit.
Well, the problem, I think, with a lot of people in these positions, like the Association of Faith Communities, while they may be good people in many respects, they have decided to put blinkers on and decide that beyond a certain point they can't do anything because they would be sacrificing their funding, they would be offending political figures, they're doing what they can. Somewhere down the road, things will get better. I'm helping a few. If I didn't, somebody else would. There are 100 excuses that people use in these positions. And I've accused you of using some of these probably in the past, but...
You can be accused of the same sometimes.
Me? I don't run these social programs. I just sit back and criticize. You know me. So, any other news of this week stuff coming up and all, or stuff you've seen?
I have something to announce. We did our first shower trailer on Sunday. We now, besides Laundry Wednesdays, we're doing shower Sundays.
Do you have a 15-minute limit on how long you can be in the shower?
Yeah, because we have a shower for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to get as many as 20 showers done, and that'll be about 15 minutes per person. So we're going to try to help people work through that. Of course, we might institute an express shower and have a 20-minute shower and a 10-minute shower. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. How many people showed up last Sunday?
What's that? Oh, well, so we only had 4 or 6. We didn't put the word out. We just wanted to see how it operated and if we've got it laid out appropriately.
Do you provide towels, soap, and mints to the shower?
All of that.
I see. And so people should come to 150.
We're going to rename the facility Footbridge Services Center.
Oh, I see. That'll be a big hit in the neighborhood, I imagine.
Not Homelessness Services Center, just Services Center.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Well, trying to get rid of the H word is a favorite of some of these service providers. I don't think it really works that well.
You just mentioned that our neighborhood would never allow us to have a Homeless Services Center by name, but we are definitely a homeless services center, so, we're trying to do everything at once.
Well, what I was saying was they might not like it, but, frankly, I'm not trying to run it, and I never would be in a position to do that. It's like the bigots who initially don't like halfway houses in their neighborhood, but eventually, it comes to be accepted. I mean, you have to deal with the initial bigotry and address it. And also, if you have government...
Yeah, but you don't have a big sign over the top of it saying halfway house.
But they know it's there, and they don't call it something else,
These programs can and do fit comfortably into neighborhoods, but if you, do the thing like the city has been doing, saying we are going to drop a homeless camp in parking lot 24, deal with it, now that's just inappropriate. But we want to cash in on the fact that Homeless Services Center has stopped being a services center and identify the fact that we are now offering storage, laundry, showers, donation materials, charging stations, all under one roof, very near to the Homeless Services Center, so where they were. So, and even though we're providing all of this with almost no funding increase,
How have volunteers reacted to the Tuesday City Council meeting?
Only two. I didn't have time to get the word out. I didn't even know it was going to be on the agenda. No one notified me. I just, somebody told me that you're on the agenda, and I was like, oh, I should look at that. I'm so busy. We didn't work with anybody. So that's why it's a miracle that it occurred. And for all the ridiculousness with the mayor and the resistance and the hubbub about prickly Brent Adams and lack, we're really stoked that it went so well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you luck in getting the documents out by tonight and getting past Justin Cummings, our new mayor, because I don't have he's already lied to me. I don't know if you were in the room when he made the promise in front of everyone that he would contact me the next day to finally get a meeting together. He could have said no, I don't want to. That would have been fine, but he doesn't do that, and he never did. So, in any case, I wish you luck with that. Anything you want to add that, you haven't covered that's coming up people should be aware of?
No, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I'm going to keep you abreast of how that'll work within the city council. First of all, will they accept our proposal? And then finally, will the city manager, pay the bill?
Well, as I understand it, you're going to proceed as though they would, right?
Yeah. yeah, and actually I'm going to be spending money beginning tomorrow as though it had already shown up.
So you said, and when I asked you how volunteers have responded, I really didn't mean how do they respond by coming to the council meeting. I mean, how do they respond to the attacks on you that you suffered during the council meeting?
Drew Glover, you know, was our knight in shining armor because he's been a victim of this sort of thing. He is currently a victim of this sort of thing. And he totally got, you know, defamation of character, innuendos in order to shut down possibilities of funding for, you know, a nonprofit like ours. But everybody else was mum. I think that they brought up appropriate questions. Surprising that Donna Myers just said, are these accusations about the operation of the thing or just the behavior of the director when he's not directing? And they said, yeah, it's his professional interactions he's had with the city government. And so she said again, so it's not about the functioning of the warming center. We said, no, it's just that, you know, so really, it's just that it's my First Amendment right. The free speech seems to ruffle feathers at times, and that is, denotes a lack of professionality, as they say, which I understand. Which is, you know, as soon as we get money like this, I start acting differently. I'll be your bitch if you give me money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's always a danger. You know, I was going to suggest to you that I think.
Robert?
Yeah.
I've been letting the services speak for themselves.
Of course.
Right? Sometimes
I understand.
I don't want to answer the questions because to my mind, you know, it's transformational. As long as I've been bouncing around in Santa Cruz with your friend around homeless advocacy, I know that a tiny nonprofit offering these services and actually, you know, establishing a warming center is freaking badass. You know, you don't normally see that in Santa Cruz. Maybe the churches will do some, you know, a program. But, so, whatever I'm trying to get to.
No, I mean, you know, I understand your point. I was going to say that because I think Glover is likely to be essentially smeared off the city council through this combination of money and essentially it's an anti-homeless narrative they're using to do this. He also works with the Poor People's Campaign, and maybe in the future you're not a big fan of activism around these issues in Santa Cruz as it's currently been done, you might consider some kind of coalition with those folks later on.
Well, we really tried to, but we had a hard time with scheduling what we were up to last year. I was single-handedly running the storage program, and I could only make presentations at the Poor People's Campaigns when I could. It's more of a Keith McHenry type thing, you know, that sort of, like that plaintive voice, not visionary. I think the mandate of the Poor People's Campaign is to be more visionary around, and so we're holding a vision of what's possible, and I don't know when that's going to rekindle. But, you know, about Drew Glover really quickly, before I get up. You attended the meeting the other day, right?
I was there for part of it. I didn't stay for the entire thing, but I...
Did you make a note of, this is going to sound like a Hollywood, fashion critique, but did you notice what he was wearing?
No.
So he normally wears a button shirt, and he looks, you know, like business down, dressing down. Always a button shirt, very professional.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, he wore a very tight, black-fitting T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Very notable. Not professional gear. Almost never do you, except for Micah Posner, did you ever see anybody wearing just a straight T-shirt? Sometimes Chris Crone dresses down. But it was very notable for me, almost signaling defiance or something. I know it's ridiculous for me to say this sort of thing, but
I wish he'd done a little more defiance on the tasers, frankly. But you know, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know how to talk about that. I think that was a ridiculous vote, especially coming from him. But I don't know where he's coming with that.
He's the chair of the public safety committee.
I wasn't there for it, and I didn't hear his remarks.
Yeah.
But I also thought Chris Krohn's stuff was a little bit out of field also. I think we needed a different conversation. Not, you know, the militarization of the police department. That's not militarizing the police department having tasers.
Well, I
didn't actually see the full thing, though.
It depends on how you find they're being used by police departments across the country. You know, are they, in other words, are there more instances of that kind of thing happening than there were before? Because it's tempting to use these when people disobey your orders. You know, that's
I know that. But yeah. What I've seen over the last 30 years in Santa Cruz is the Santa Cruz Police Department, by measures of exponentially, have become increasingly less violent, way more measured in their use of force under the last stages of Vogel, and now with Mills. It's quite impressive when you see them interacting with people. I'm going to say something that, you know, maybe I shouldn't even say it out loud, that I tend to trust this police department and their use of tasers more than I would ever trust, like, a department like San Jose, or definitely a department like Oakland, where those questions are completely valid. But this, even their use of the dreaded Bearcat has been really understated, and it has been used, like they said, for, inappropriately maybe, but for warrant searches and for indication where somebody's suicidal in their house. They used it infrequently, very sparingly. So I never thought I'm not supportive of the police department. I'm anti-cop at heart. I'm anti-state. But in application of some of these things, I've been actually more surprised than I thought I would be how effective this police department has been. I also like their method of policing. We don't talk about it much, but they don't do a lot of beat copping. You don't see them around as much, but when something happens, like when we have a cell phone policing concept, because everyone has a cell phone, so we all are essentially doing the work of the police department. Like, if you saw somebody being beaten with a pipe, you would call them, and they would be there sooner.
Well, hopefully you'd fucking intervene and not wait for the police to show up. I mean, that's the point. The community needs to step up.
We do both. We do
both.
I don't think that the police need to be there for nonviolent crimes. Anyway, I'm going to get back to work. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, thank you, Brent. You take care, man. And again, to reach you, it's 246-1234. And Brent is gone, and we'll just take a musical break.
All right. Yo. This all came about one time when I was on a plane going back to Los Angeles, coming from somewhere else, and I sat next to this lady, and she was telling me some things, you know. I don't remember it verbatim, but I do remember some of the things she said, and it was like this. She said, "Life as we know it is about to change. I smell it within the air. The weather is getting strange. Drugged up, sedated, and numb from the pain. The sickness in America has spread to her brain. She is no longer fit to make good decisions. She is completely blind and void of any vision. She parties hard and she keeps her conscious mind in prison. Therefore, she's headed for the ultimate collision. She can no longer hide the scars on her face. The innocence now gone is hard to replace. She has no shame, no remorse, or any grace. She embraces the devil and she hates over race. Miss America, the beautiful, the free, falling within the cracks, I wish that you can see. She buried her misery within society. It's obvious you have no regard for me. That's why you caught up in the belly of America. Lost in the stomach of America. Broken down in the bowels of America. Sinking in the garbage of America. Stuck in the brain of America. Suffering in the body of America. Lying in the wicked spirit of America. Dying in the old soul of America. Miss America, you've been a very bad girl. You nearly disgraced humanity in the eyes of the world. Vanity has took you over. You're not deserving. The mirror image of your reflection is quite disturbing. She makes so many promises she couldn't keep. She neglected to mother her young so they don't sleep. They scream out for justice and then they weep. We're not to blame, Miss America. It's what you reap. The audacity of your inventions to rule us all, the tragedy of your intentions to fool us all. You should have gave into nature and to the laws. It's only a matter of time before you fall. The things you should have worked out in your first colony, took some of your own advice and your psychology. You've destroyed all morale and the ecology. I'm sorry, but I don't accept your apology. I'm caught up in the belly of America, lost in the stomach of America, broken down in the bowels of America, sinking in the garbage of America, stuck in the brain of America, suffering in the body of America, lying in the wicked spirit of America, dying in the old soul of America. Oh, Miss America, so much attractions, has yet to take responsibility for her actions. We work around within the system and make adaptions so you can let freedom ring within your faction. How can people still be hungry when there's a surplus? Suffering within your home, you've made them worthless. Damn near police the state and make us nervous, even though some conform and join your service. Your president sees the biggest joke, but where the laugh? I always smell the gun smoke on your behalf. I think I should send a telegraph to your staff. America, you're down in dirt, you need a bath. So tell your secret agents, don't be paranoid. This wasn't taught by Socrates or Sigmund Freud. This is simply God's work you can't avoid. Every nation ever built has been destroyed. Cause we caught up in the belly of America, lost in the stomach of America, broken down in the bowels of America, sinking in the garbage of America, stuck in the brain of America, suffering in the body of America, trying in the good old spirit of America, dying in the old soul of America. Yeah.